There is an endless sea of podcasts about entrepreneurship. Talking about it, but not living it. We live it every day. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel, talking about real estate investing, but also encompassing general subjects in regards to owning small to medium-sized businesses, and of course, all the struggles that business owners must overcome to be successful. This is Inside the Wolf's Den, and this is Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel.
Welcome back to Inside the Wolf's Den with your hosts, Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. How are you, Sean?
Great. Coming off a holiday weekend, feel rested and ready to do this.
And so, we just celebrated 18 years of marriage. Hello?
Marriage bliss. Yes.
You forgot about that, huh?
Yeah, I did. So happy anniversary.
Thanks.
So it's been a wonderful 18 years. I could say it's been, it's not been easy, but it's been a journey. Enjoy the journey.
Absolutely.
Right? Not a destination. So no, it's been great. And I think 18, we're climbing. So we're climbing that ladder and it's been good. And
we've learned, 20.
I would say the biggest change or reflection, if you want to say, is like, I think the last couple of years we've started to evolve, and it's we've talked about this the other day. It was like we're not the same people we were, 18 years ago. And
yeah.
And some part of me wants to, I don't like change, so I'm trying to keep how we were 18 years ago, and we're not the same people.
And sometimes you just have to appreciate the changes, right? Accept the changes, adapt.
Go through a lot of counseling and get some help with that. But yes. Yeah. So, no, but
you sound
good.
Like it's bad. It's not all that
it's
bad.
It's been great. And, there's nobody else I would rather do this journey with than you. So,
well,
thank
same.
You.
It's been awesome. So today, I hope everyone is enjoying the last episodes. We've had some amazing guests the last couple weeks. So make sure you tune into those. I think Brian Tripp was our last one. He had some...
Predictive Index with Austin was the very last
one.
Oh,
yeah.
So
that
I think that was
amazing.
Awesome. So some of that might have been a little bit higher level, but we wanted to... If you're ready to take that next step, or you're managing a large team, those are the steps in the that you're going to need to take to keep elevating yourself above your competition, finding, developing an expert team, and
hiring. I remember when we hired, we started hiring, like we were always hired the wrong, just off emotion, right? And so, there's some excellent stuff in there.
Yeah. So we made a lot of mistakes, and so I think you can jump over all those mistakes if you start using the predictive index and a lot of the stuff that Austin talked about in that podcast. So go back and take a look at it, episode 71, believe it was. And so re-listen to that if you haven't heard it. So
today we're going to be talking about raising private money. So whether you are a real estate investor or running a business or starting a business, you need to know how to raise money. This can be from a private individual, bank, or institutional. I mean, this topic alone, like taking it back, I mean, this was game changer, right, for our business. I mean, if we hadn't started raising private money early on, I don't know if we would have been where we're at today.
You couldn't have. And I think in real estate specifically, it's crucial to know how to raise money.
Yeah.
From individuals, whether you're even on the syndications, all that, if you're raising money, you got to raise it, and then not only the front end for your down payments and your capital improvements, but also raising money from banks and because they're your largest lender usually in the deal. And so you got to know what you're doing and how to present yourself. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get into a lot of the details of how we did it, what to look for, where to get it, how to present yourself, when you're presenting to banks or private individuals. So we're going to get into all those details. But yeah, to answer your question, I think that was a game changer in our business. And we did it at a very early on.
Right.
And so I want to encourage everybody, even if you're young or you don't have credit, or let's say maybe you're older and maybe you have bad credit or you have made some mistakes in the past, mm-hmm. you know, we'll talk about how to overcome some of those challenges. Right. But I think at any stage you're at, as long as you got a really good business plan, mm-hmm. you got a really good model, you've outlined your steps that you're going to take, you can raise private money, especially in today's market.
You hit it right there. Having a business plan and a model is crucial, because you don't want to sound like a salesman going to, you know, your private lender asking for money. Like, you got to educate them. Educate them on what you're asking for.
Yeah. And also, we've also raised money to buy businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, when we bought a management company in Albuquerque, we part of that came from a bank, and then part of it came from a private individual. So you got to know how to do that. We bought Reuter, that came from private funds. So you got to know how to raise money if you're buying a business or starting a business. Yeah. And so there's every aspect, but it's going to come down in life to knowing how to do it and how to present yourself. Yeah. So we'll get into some of the examples. But something I wanted to talk about was, you know, when we started – in our 20s, raising private money, we started off with the basics. We went to friends
and family,
and mainly family. My mm-hmm. grandfather, who passed away earlier this year, was our first mm-hmm. Investor he loved our business. He loved what we were doing, flipping houses. It was a passion of his. He had done, you know, early in his career, he had flipped a couple houses, right. But he just loved the idea of fixing. And he was a very handy person, so he loved the idea of fixing houses. And so he was just intrigued by the business itself.
And he wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, in some way. And mm-hmm. so he did, but as lending us money. But he was our first investor. And of course, you know, when you're starting with friends and family, you're probably going to pay above market rent, you know, or market I'm speaking in property management terms, above market price, you know, or whatever, to raise the money. So you're going to probably pay a higher interest than maybe an experienced or, you know, even to the last couple of years.
Right.
Yeah, we've restructured a lot of our money that we've raised, and it's gotten a lot cheaper mm-hmm. over the years. But when you're starting out, you don't have those.
You don't have the leisure. So you do what you can, and we've, you know, started off higher than normal.
Because you got to put yourself in the investor's shoes and look at, you know, in their eyes, if you're new and starting out and you don't have the experience that maybe a very experienced investor has, you know, you might be a higher risk, but mm-hmm. so they might lend you the money, but they're in order to for them to do that and take that risk, they're going to want a higher return.
Absolutely.
Or if they're lending to an experienced investor, they'll maybe that they know is going to be able to has the ability mm-hmm. to repay them, you know, and so they might lend it at a much lower interest rate and a much lower risk.
Yeah.
So, and then same thing, whether it comes to hard money loans, which I think we've talked about on this podcast before, you know, which are companies that lend money based upon the asset alone. Mm-hmm. So they're not lending necessarily on you as the lender or as the borrower.
They're doing it based on the property.
The property. Mm-hmm. And so, but in those cases, there's still, you know, there's risk to them. And so they're going to do it at a much like higher points and higher interest than a typical lender would do. So, you know, the higher the risk, the higher you're going to pay. And mm-hmm. so again, if you're starting out or you have bad credit, you got to expect you could probably have to pay a little bit higher than other people, which is going to factor into your profit, but at least you're getting the money to do the deal and it's somewhere to start. So, but we started, in our 20s, and we, I think the big thing for you and I was we always presented ourselves very professionally. Mm-hmm. Like we, even in our 20s, I think we wore, back then, I don't know if I would do it now, but I think we wore suits and everything to our, you know,
did we?
I think so. To the first couple banker present, I think.
Banker ones. Yeah. When we try to have everything together and we wanted everything professional and put together before, you know, you might not even know what you're talking about, but we had a nice book detailed with even like the colored tabs on it.
We're going to get into that later. So, but I mean, you jumped into it, but our presentation, our binder, our outline, the way we carried ourselves, and we didn't know what we were doing. It was the first time doing it, but they took us professionally and they took us as for real, like, hey, you know,
these kids know what they're doing.
So, and I wonder what they thought of us. We need to go back to, because we're still banking with a couple of those bankers.
Well, actually, I do have a funny story, because now that you say that, so one of our bankers, we were actually banking with Wells Fargo, right? We actually saw him at one of the real estate events not too long ago. He's like, "Hey, Sean and Joni, do you remember me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, he looks like the exact same that he did back then," right? He's like, "Yeah," he's all, "well, I'm investing in real estate now." And we got to talking, and we were actually ones that kind of intrigued him to invest in real estate, because we had our bank book and coming to him for money. And he's like, "Man, I don't know what these kids are doing, but they're doing something right."
Yeah. And then he would see us later. That's when we used to flip a lot of houses. And so we'd come in the middle of the day, and a lot of times in shorts and stuff like that, because that was after we had already gotten the money we needed. But we'd come in to do deposits or whatever, and he would seem like, "Why are they doing this? What are they in the middle of the
middle
day?
Of the day.
They're shorts. They're like, they're never like, I wonder what they do for a living." Even he kind of knew, but didn't know. And yeah, it was funny how the stories he used to tell us about. I never even thought he even cared or knew about us.
Well, yeah, but apparently he did.
So let's start with step one. So if you're wanting to raise money, where do you start? Like, where do you find the lenders? And so we're going to break this up into like kind of two phases. So the one is going to be if you're raising money for private money. So private money would be individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That would lend you money for the deal, or lend you money for the deposit, or lend you money to rehab the property. And then we'll break it up in second more into like banks and institutions. Right. So first, you know, if you're just looking to raise private money, which is the simplest way. And if you're just getting started, you're just trying to buy you got your first house under contract, or you're looking to start a business, I would start with, you know, raising private money. So individuals mm-hmm. that have money that is sitting in the bank getting just, you know, practically nothing in interest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times people that have money in their IRAs, they can roll it over to mm-hmm. a self-directed IRA and invest with you. or they pull it out of the market and just invest it so they can get a higher return.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a ton of money right now that's out there. And a lot of people need a safe and secure place to mm-hmm. to put it. And they want to get a high return because they're going to have to live off this someday. So they're looking for places to put it. And so I would start, number one, with friends and family.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we started. Mm-hmm. That's and of course, the friends and family are going to be the most judgmental.
Right.
They're going to be the hardest on you. So, you know, maybe you got somebody in your family that has some business acumen, but mm-hmm. so if you can show them how they can be a part of it, and maybe you'd start off with giving them, you know, 50% of the deal and become a partner with them. And that maybe that's how you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But I would start there. I would also start with business associates or colleagues. So people that you work with.
Mm-hmm. And let everybody know like what you do, you know, like make sure spread the word and everywhere you go to, you know, your business acquaintances, their friends, you know, their family. Because I know that's how we got some money was just, you know, from friends and family of our family members.
Correct. And it for us, it started with you got to start somewhere. So this is going to build over time. So this is something that it didn't happen overnight. And just like anything in life, it takes a while. So we started with my grandpa. He lent us, you know, a small amount. It kept growing every year with him. But then he would refer other family members, and he would go to like
go to his retirement home, some of his friends, and they would talk about it, and then all of a sudden Sean's got like three or four more that want to invest.
There was one it was my uncle, my great uncle, and so like he lived in this retirement facility, and pretty soon before you know, we had like five different people from that retirement facility that lent monies to us over the years. But it just started with one, and then mm-hmm. he would talk about it and the return he's getting and everything else, and it grew. So it grew to different family members, it grew to people outside the family that they knew, and that's how it grew for us in business. Probably our largest lender to date he sold the company now, but he was a lender owner of our title company. Mm-hmm. And he's how we first started. We closed a deal with him. He saw what we were doing, And at one point, he's like, hey, if you ever need money for a deal, let me know. And so we're so sure, like, yeah, we got this deal going on. So, and all of a sudden, it just grew over the years where, I mean, at any given time, he had $2, $3 million yeah. with us lent out. And so he became our biggest lender to date privately.
Right.
But it started just with, but we had to show that we could repay. We had to.
And that's the thing, too, yeah. is like, if you're going to do this, like, make sure you pay them on time, like yeah. when you say you're going to do it. Because I've also ran into lots of other investors that, you know, didn't do what they said they're going to do, you know, and that's where it stops. Like, they're going to continue to refer you if you, you know, say what you're going to do, what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. And that goes with anything, mm-hmm. regardless of, you know, if you're having a deal that maybe a lot of, if you're in this business long enough, you're going to have stuff that goes wrong. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have deals that, you know, you spent way more than right. you thought, or it took way longer than mm-hmm. you anticipated. So we've had several, like, new construction that took way longer than they were supposed to.
And our private lenders made more than we did on yeah. the deal, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
But right? we kept them up to date.
Absolutely.
We kept them in communication. So if it came up to the time that the loan was due, we say, hey, here's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Here's what's happening on this project. Our sewer taps or whatever is taking 3 months longer than anticipated, so we need to extend the loan. And as long as you communicate yeah. and show what's going on, they're fine with
yeah,
extending.
Absolutely. That's what
they want, to keep their money working. Next, I would, if you're looking for banks, I would start with community and local banks.
Mm-hmm.
So we've always worked with banks that have like less than 5 branches typically.
Yeah.
You know, most, I think, at the time, and it's also relationship building. So, you know, look up online, or Yellow Pages if they still exist. but look at banks that have less than, I would start with less than 10 branches. And if you can get under 5, that's even better. So you want small local community banks. You're going to work with the commercial lenders at those banks, mm-hmm. like usually vice president of commercial lending or president of commercial lending. If you have a way to, like, an in, so I know early on for us, that same owner of that the title company, he referred me to a couple bankers.
Yeah.
And so he did a personal introduction to 2 different banks for me, which it's a game changer, because number one, coming from him, who he used to borrow a bunch of
had
money.
Had some for credibility. This.
Yeah, he knew that they take you seriously, mm-hmm. they'll talk with you, they'll entertain it. And so start with small local community lenders. Usually those commercial bankers have an ability to lend up to $500,000 or $250,000 at their discretion. So mm-hmm. it doesn't have to go to a loan committee or anything like that. So especially if you're just starting out, they have those abilities to,
right.
to make that decision. And then build that relationship. Mm-hmm. So we've had a banker now for 16 years.
Same banker. Yeah. We've added a few additional ones in between, but yeah, we've had that same banker for over 16 years. Yeah.
And he's now this.
And
is
every time he moved, we moved. We would just follow him.
Yeah. So this is like the third bank he's on. Now they'll move, but because what happens is, like, they have that ability and they know that you can perform. And so it makes it so much easier. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even for some of our larger loans that had to go commit to loan committee, he would go to bat for
right.
us and make sure everything's lined up and ready to go. But, you know, Joni and I would nurture that relationship mm-hmm. over the years. We met with him quarterly. We'd take him
to lunch.
And we would usually reach out to, occasionally he would reach out to us and take us to lunch, but typically we were reaching out to him just to
right.
keep that rapport. And we didn't have nothing really to present to him or any deals at that time, but we were just nurturing that, talk about
yeah.
family and what's going on in his life. But when it comes to banking as well, it's going to be all about mm-hmm. the relationship. And same thing with the private lenders. It's
yeah.
all about the relationship when it comes to lenders. So, and we've had over the years, we've had our real estate attorney. We needed him for something that, you know, some
yeah, and this is just like this came by just by casually talking about yeah. our business, you know, and what we do day to day. And you'll
yeah.
be amazed. Like, people are like, man, like, shoot, well, I have some money, you
yeah.
know, can I invest?
Yeah, and you just talk about it and what you do, and especially, like, you drop hints and you kind of develop like an elevator speech where you
mm-hmm.
share what you do, and then, you know, and you help people take, you know, money that they have sitting on the sidelines and invest it for them and, mm-hmm. and help them get a good rate of return. And all of a sudden, before you know it, they're like, yeah, like you said, I have money. And so we've had like our real estate, we've had friends that have mm-hmm. invested with us. We've had just over the years, just yeah. from just regular conversations. So that's how you find the money. Next, we're going to talk about
what to present.
Yeah. So once you have these a meeting set with these investors or banks, how are you going to present? What are you going to bring? So let's start off with the private lending package. So that's what we call it. This would be for private lenders, individuals. Joni and I prepared a very professional, I don't know, what is it, 30 pages binder. Yeah. And we have it. Those ones we have spiral brown, so we send it to like Kinko's or whatever, Office Max, Office Depot, and we have them spiral bound with mm-hmm. a nice clear plastic cover on the front and the hard backing on the back, so it looks like a nice, you know, presentable yeah. thing. And we called it our private lending package, and it starts off with our background. Mm-hmm. So it tells our story, how Joni and I got started, what we've done. It talks a little bit about our family, so it makes it people can
they can relate to that.
Then we outline the program. So we go through like, what is our private lending program? How, you know, what is the return? How does it work? How secure is it? And we talk about all, what we ended up doing was compiling our list of questions mm-hmm. that we got.
Right, throughout the years.
Speaking with investors. Right. So like one of the questions in there was, what happens if we stop paying? Because I mean, that's in their mind. They might not ask it, but that's going through their mind. What happens if you guys stop paying? And so we outlined what's going to happen in that scenario. And then we would talk about,
can I get my money out? Yeah. If I need to get my money out, can I get
it out? If I have an emergency, right. How can I get, you know, so it outlines every, and you need to think about those too, because mm-hmm. those are going to be things that are going to happen over the years. You're going to have an investor that whatever has a sudden need for the money, or they, you know, they shouldn't lend unless they're willing to commit to the full thing.
Right. But things happen. Yeah.
And so how are you going to repay them? You better have a plan that mm-hmm. if that does happen, how are you going to, you know. But we outlined all those and then mm-hmm. we went into like comparisons. So like money invested in the stock market versus money in the bank mm-hmm. and then versus in our private lending program,
right.
how much they would return for them. And then we did before and after photos because of our current projects, because people can relate visually. A lot more than reading something. So if they can see the photos, it becomes real. They can see, you know, maybe, you know, everybody's, a lot of these investors will have owned a home, and so they can understand like, wow, look what that kitchen turned out afterwards, and look right. what they did. And it just gets more emotionally yeah. tied to it, and so they're more emotionally attached to investing with you. And then we also put testimonials in there, so mm-hmm. Examples from our current clients, you know, what they think of us, what their experience has been like. And we even, if they ask, we'll give them references if they right. need it. And then we have at the end a place where they can fill out a commitment, you know, so it gives they can put their info, they can put
how much to invest
and all that. So mm-hmm. it automatically kind of, that's like the close, you mm-hmm. know, so it, without being a hard close, it's right there. Okay, if you want to invest, how much do you have? And then we'll get that invested right. for you. So that's our private lending package mm-hmm. and it's worked. And we need to update it because I think it's worked for years. And I think it's been the same one for like 15 years. But
And hopefully you'll get to that point where you don't need your bank book anymore, you know, because I think at this point it's like sometimes we have to turn it away because we have so much money. That's a good problem to have, I guess.
Yeah. And as you grow over the years, people might start off with, you know, $50,000. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, that was so successful. I really enjoyed that process. I have an extra $150,000. Right. Can you guys put
to
work?
They're testing the waters a little bit to see how it goes, you know, honeymoon stage. And then eventually they're going to want to invest more. That happens all the time.
And so, I mean, mm-hmm. for us, even this past year, we returned a lot of private money that we just didn't need anymore. So you'll get to that luxury where like if people are
or
difficult.
Or if it's too expensive too. You
or
know,
the people
we start,
are difficult.
Yeah, we started off at a higher interest and, you know, now it's like we don't want to pay the higher interest. And so if they wanted to pay the lower, then hey, they can stay on board. But if
and
not.
We also started with minimum. So we started going really, we wanted to work with rather, we wanted to go deeper with people mm-hmm. and rather than spreading ourselves. Right. So we wanted to work with the easiest, the cheapest, and then also the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. So we had to deal with less people. So Those are decisions you get to make as you grow and it gets more mature. So, mm-hmm. And then as far as the bank book, this is something that, you know, we put together and what we present to banks. We do a very nice three-ring binder. Mm-hmm. Color is probably better to use than white, even though the last couple of times I've presented, I've used a white binder. Mm-hmm. But almost if you walk into a bank or you walk into any business, typically that's the typical color is white. So if you want to stand out, so I would recommend like a colored, so either like blue or maybe there's a theme that goes with your logo of your company.
Green money.
Or yellow, you know, like yeah, green. green, if you want to go green, I would say yellow, like for TTK it would be yellow, but use a nice three ring binder. We put labels, so like we use the Avery
the tabs.
Mm-hmm. So the code number is 1186. No, 11186.
You even have the code on there. Jeez, you are getting detailed here.
So we use the Avery 11186. So they're 8 tabs, and you print the front of it. You can print the what each tab represents. Mm-hmm. So we go through it. We have a background for one tab. We have our business plan. We have our financials. So we put our credit report. We put our financial statement. We put our last 2 years of tax returns, and then we do our current year profit and loss and balance statement. And then we do a tab for current inventory of homes, so what we currently have in inventory and what we're working on, our current portfolio of rentals, and then we also show them our current houses that we've sold for this year.
Yeah.
So all that's in there, and then another tab is the property details. Mm-hmm. Again, we get into before and after photos because even bankers want to see, like, right? They want to see what you're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah. Our bankers like look through like, wow, you did this.
Yeah.
And they get all into that.
Yeah. And we've even flipped a couple houses for or rehabbed some houses for our investors. Right. Just because they're blown away. Yeah. They see what we do and they get all into it. And then we do letters from current banks. So mm-hmm. if we got a line of credit with a bank, we'll put that in there. If we got like a portfolio line of credit, you know, we'll put that in there and show all that because one thing that they'll do is, wow, if this bank's going to lend to them, you know, why would I not lend to them? And so it's kind of like references, right, or testimonials, but because you've got other bankers verifying mm-hmm. that they've lent to you. So I'd put all that in there. It outlines it all in the business plan. We go into real deep detail of exactly how our business works, how we make money, how we plan to return that money to the bank. And to be honest with you, we've never got turned down from a bank because we've gone in this professional. Just think about it. So they get people every day that's walking in and say, hey, I want a loan. And they just like, they come just ordinary, nothing. You're doing everything that they need. So you got the business plan that they're going to need. You got the main thing they're going to need is financials. But imagine you coming in that detailed, that, you know.
Well, like, we've got it before. Yeah. Bankers see like, wow, like you guys.
Nobody's ever done this. Yeah.
Yeah.
And walked in with this much info. If you got, let's say, dings on your credit, or you got a bad year tax return, you know, where you didn't have a good year business wise, this is something that you can outline though, but you're not hiding it from them. You could say you could say that in the business plan or in the background or in the financial section. You could write a letter explaining mm-hmm. what happened, why this happened. Maybe you went through a divorce, and you could explain that, you know, and they could understand that what happened. Mm-hmm. So. You know, you're getting ahead of it and you're being proactive and talking about it. So, that's all in our banker book. It's work, but we've come again, prepared and professional.
That's the thing. If you're going to do this, be prepared and, you know, get everything lined out.
Yeah. And so just some last, words of advice, if you're looking to raise money, start somewhere, you know, it's going to take time to build, you know, whether it's a private lending program or a lot of investors in the privately mm-hmm. and then move up to banks. Something that, you know, we've done and it's worked well for us, Joni and I have always raised private money from individuals first, and then we've usually taken large packages to banks because mm-hmm. we found that banks usually, you know, it's about the same amount of work for a banker to lend
on one property
versus 10 or 15 or 20. So to them, they'd rather do a $2 or $3 million loan because they make more money that way than doing a $100,000 loan. So we've always raised private money first and then use that to buy and sell the houses or get them. And then we've taken it to banks and refinance and done a much bigger package. We've had more success that way, but you'll have to figure that out on your own. The big thing that that I wanted to stress in this last words advice, and this is maybe controversial or maybe I guess it's changed over time, especially in today's world. But, you know, I know tattoos are more common. I know ear piercings and all that's more common. Joni and I have always, I believe, my personal opinion in being in business is I've wanted to relate to the most amount of people possible. I wanted, you know, and the more conservative I am, the more I can do that. And I don't, when people are entrusting their money over to me, like this is a lot of times their savings or retirement or for the bank, it's like his job's on the line if he does several bad loans. So, you know, they're entrusting a lot of money over to me. I want to give them confidence that I'm going to be able to do what I say. So I don't want to give them any doubt in their mind that I'm not mature enough to do it. I'm not, especially, you know, we started this in our early 20s. Yeah. So we looked young. So I wanted to build that trust factor with everybody that I've worked with. So I believe in presenting yourself as best as possible. So whether you're very professional, very professionally dressed, you know, carry yourself well.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. Do you have anything?
I mean, you know, starting out, I mean, we had a lot to prove because we were young. So, you know, like we had to.
I mean, we didn't come in with colored hair or, you know, or we were always very well dressed, very clean. And I've always been clean cut, clean, you know, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying they look at that and I want to relate to as many.
And I think people. The point there is you want to relate to the most amount of people as possible. So,
and then last note is, you know, like Joni's mentioned before, communicate often, be honest, be upfront, you know, always repay your money on time.
Do what you say you're going to do.
That goes leaps and bounds because that's especially in today's, if you just do what you say you're going to do in today's world, that makes a big difference to people.
The last thing I want to say to you is just really nurture those relationships as well. I think that's key throughout this. I mean, you know, 16 years with the same banker. I mean, we continuously, like Sean said, go out to lunch with him and keep in contact. Right. And that's what's going to keep these private lenders going for long term.
I think it's and whether it's golfing, whatever their passions are. You know, try to go to those events and do those types of things and nurture those relationships, just like any, like business, but also these, even with your lenders, nurture those relationships. Lastly is just, be careful because I know in this, when you're borrowing from unsophisticated, sometimes investors, you know, people, especially in this, industry, I've seen too many investors, you know, not do what they say you're going to do. So always follow through. Never over leverage. Never borrow more than you need. And be smart with it, you know, because this is, you have to repay this. So don't overdo it and borrow what you need for the deal and you won't get yourself in trouble. Especially if there's a downturn, always leave equity so that you can weather those downstorms. And it's not, you know, eventually we're going to, this run that we've had the last, whatever it's been, 11 years, is going to end, you know, and we're going to have eventually, another market correction, and you got to be able to weather through those. So, you know, be smart about it.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
No, I think that was great. There's a lot of great information. I think the key is, you know, get started somewhere and put together your banking book and for your lenders.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. Have a great week. Thank you for listening and keep sharing this and liking it.
See ya.
You've been listening to Inside the Wolf's Den, an entrepreneurial journey with Sean and Joni Wolfswinkel. Tons of entrepreneurial podcasts are out there talking.
Cog, cog, cogging.
But Joni and Sean are living it every single day. Their portfolio now includes many franchises and medium-sized businesses. We talk about the trials and motivators of successfully running a business. Join us again soon for another podcast. But until then, reach out on the website at InsideTheWolf'sDen.com, on Facebook at Inside the Wolf's Den, on Instagram at Inside the Wolf Den. We'll see you again soon. This is Inside the Wolf's Den. We'll see you next time.